The Glass Thread, One Artist's Lonely Journey from Addiction to Enlightenment, by me, James Stone. Dedicated to the brilliant David Ross, the person who inspired this effort. Foreword by Lalo Morales. I'm honored to write the foreword for The Glass Thread, a captivating book that tells the inspiring story of James Stone, a glassblower and mixed media artist whose unique style incorporates glass with metal to create stunning pieces of art that are both powerful and beautiful. I first met James during a glassblowing class, and I was immediately struck by his talent and dedication to his craft. As I got to know him, I learned that James' passion for glassblowing and mixed media started at an early age, and he has spent his entire life exploring the possibilities of these mediums. In The Glass Thread, James takes us on a journey through his life, sharing his experiences and the challenges he has faced along the way. He tells the story of his love for glass and how it has shaped his life, but he also shares the struggles he has faced, including addiction and loss. Despite the difficulties he has encountered, James never lost his passion for the art, and his determination to create beautiful pieces of work never wavered. He continued to push the boundaries of what was possible, combining glass with metal to create beautiful and evocative pieces that capture the imagination. What stands out most about The Glass Thread is its power to inspire. James's story is a testament to the strength of human spirit and to the power of art to heal and transform our lives. It is a book that will resonate with anyone who has ever faced adversity, and it is a tribute to a remarkable individual who devoted his life to creating beauty from the depths of struggle. In short, The Glass Thread is a must-read for anyone passionate about art and for anyone who is seeking inspiration in their own life. It is a powerful and inspiring story and a testament to the enduring power of the human spirit. This story is about a life journey. Mine was 40 years across the burning sands. How little do we know about our own lives and those of the people around us as we begin our journey? It is only towards the ends of our lives, with lots of work, that we can see the threads and the coincidences we encounter on our journey. So often, the connective threads of our lives intersect and get woven together over and over. Sometimes the events show up as coincidences. Einstein, during his lifetime, concluded that coincidence is God's way of staying anonymous. The first time I started to develop some deep insight into my own life and its connections was when I attended my 40th year high school reunion. There was so much that happened in that short weekend. Some of it was nice, but my first insight was that I did not like most of those people when I was in high school. Yet here I was 40 years later, only to discover that I still really did not like them. Many were the same people they were in high school, now just older, more outspoken, and more unpleasant. So exactly what was I doing there in the first place? There were, however, a couple of very notable exceptions. First, my high school friend and fellow artist, Eileen. Eileen was a very beautiful gal in high school. She was an incredibly talented artist even then. She also had a very interesting family. Even to this day, her mother is one of my Facebook friends. I was very fond of her and her entire family, but the opportunity for us to become involved just never happened. I sort of stayed in touch with her on and off over the years after graduation, but I had not seen her at this point in about 15 years or maybe a little more. We were excited to reconnect and share the stories of our artistic and personal journeys. As she began to tell me her story, I was shocked. She married a guy from our high school class, someone I always thought was way the wrong person for her, or anyone else for that matter. After years of marriage, he came out. As expected, she was shocked and hurt. But the story gets worse. She next hooked up with another guy from our high school, a person I never liked, and a mean-spirited bully, somebody that I tangled with more than once during my time at that unpleasant place. They were developing a relationship when, rather suddenly, in an angry and unfortunate moment, in the middle of an airport, he ended it unexpectedly and walked away. Once again, she was hurt, badly by the way she told her story. So just what was it about her journey that she attracted these less than pleasant situations? I still keep thinking about her and wondering why someone that I thought had almost everything going for her, beauty, brains, talent, and a very normal family, ended up on such a painful journey. The next insight, and ultimately a very strong glass thread, was with my friend Lynn. I was sitting at the bar by myself when Lynn saddled up right next to me and ordered a drink. I was surprised to see her. God had been very kind to her. She looked just as lovely that night as she did in high school, maybe even a little bit better. Back in the day, she had been a cheerleader and one of the popular girls, at least from my perspective, way beyond my level. I would never have even thought that she would be interested in a person like me. But I went ahead and struck up a conversation and asked her about her life. As it turned out, she also married someone from our class. Also, someone I never particularly liked. I guess I did not like very many people at Newton High School. After many years of marriage and two children, he left her unexpectedly for a flight attendant he had met on one of his business trips. Truly his loss. As we spoke, I asked her about her children. I found out her daughter was studying art in Fort Lauderdale. She added, "And I've got this son." I swear, every time I hear those very words, I know exactly what is coming next because I was one of those sons. She told me he had a very crazy idea that he was going to make a living as a glass blower. Needless to say, I was shocked. She started to tell me that he was studying to do scientific glass blowing with a very famous glass blower in a school in South Jersey. I immediately took over the conversation and asked, "Do you mean Salem Community College?" She was surprised that I knew his school. I then asked, "Is he studying with Paul Stankard?" At that moment, she was shell-shocked and said, "Yes." And then she insisted on knowing just how I knew about her son and the school and Paul Stankard. I explained that I was a working glassblower and that I had also studied with Paul Stankard many years ago and that we were still friends. So right then and there, we were connected in a very deep and meaningful way, which played itself out later on my journey. Part of the glass thread that just seems to be my story. One of the many things I never really learned in high school and for many years to come was that even though someone may never say anything to your face, they are almost always ready to talk trash about you behind your back. Human nature is to spread negative stories and in some cases embellish and color them with your own perspectives and opinions, accurate or not, regardless of any damage that may occur from their interpretations or embellishments. The other part of this is that once those negative words and feelings are created, true or not, they continue to fly around the universe and sometimes create really bad things that come flying straight back at you like a freight train and hit you right smack in the middle of the forehead. Bam! So part of this story is all about the vast number of times I had to be hit in the head over and over again before I started to understand. Today, I believe you should always be kind with your words and actions because you are creating that energy in the universe and it always comes home to roost. Along the same vein, high school and the stupid and thoughtless things we do at that time in our lives that just keep resurfacing, sometimes for many years. We all have such events in our history. In my mid-50s, a couple more people from high school resurfaced. It just never occurred to me that I could and did affect people in any way at all, let alone in a bad way. The thought that they would remember my transgressions for 30 or 40 years was way beyond my understanding. I've done many things I wish I had not done. I try hard not to spend time there. Years of therapy, understanding from committed lifelong friends, alcohol, and lots of illicit drugs have helped me immensely in developing some insights and understandings and learning to forgive myself. So here are just a couple of the many foolish incidents. As you will read, I spent my middle school years in a disciplinarian school situation. I was finally released back into the public school system in my sophomore year. As was my way then, and to some extent even now, the trouble started on the very first day of school. Young men's brains don't begin to function until well into adulthood. Mine only started to function after about age 50. But physically, we are men at about age 15 or so. I wasn't that different. At age 17, I was the size I am today, although much more muscular and fairly fit. So here I am starting a brand new chapter of my life in a new school, a reboot, as we say today, when, on the very first day, I was propped up against my locker checking out the local talent. Somebody I did not even know came up to me and said, "I know you. Meet me on the football field today after school, or I'm coming looking for you." I didn't even know this person, anything about him or anyone in the school, and certainly no one would stand by me in a fight. But I had just come from a very tough all-boys school with very tough borderline juvenile delinquents, so I figured I could handle myself against some stupid hick farm boy. After the school day, I hiked up to the football field only to discover that this person had rallied about 24 football players and a few stragglers to watch him kick my ass. What happened next surprised everyone. I beat this guy into unconsciousness. No one else was willing to risk that outcome, so everyone just dispersed. At the time, I never realized how a single incident like that becomes a permanent part of one's history and at some energy level shades all future experiences. I went on to have a lot of difficulties in my remaining years at Newton High School, and most of them could be traced right back to that very day on the football field. But here is the strangely interesting Einstein part. Before Facebook, there was an internet app called Classmates.com. Like many of my contemporaries, I registered and waited to see who else would register and maybe contact me. The first person who visited my listing was that very same person I had hurt so badly as a young man. He never actually contacted me, but he did troll me for a while. I sometimes wonder how that drubbing in front of his friends and fellow students affected his life. The next event at Newton High School, which later came back to haunt me, was also because I was stupid, out of touch, and desensitized to life. It seems that I used to be very good at stupid, probably the reason I had so much trouble growing up. There was a very successful family in Newton, prominent members in our synagogue, and for a variety of reasons, well-respected. They had two sons. Both were big, high-profile personalities, athletes with well-developed, long-time circles of friends. All things that, as an outsider, I wanted very badly. The youngest son was an especially large personality. This family was friends with my family, but that son and I were not friendly at all. I liked his older brother, who was in my sister's class, but I did not like the younger brother or respect him, or for that matter, anyone in his family. I really thought they were a rather despicable bunch. Unfortunately for me, my family held them in high regard, which only hardened my heart. I had no idea how to release those feelings because my family just wouldn't hear of it. So I hatched a really stupid plan. I broke into his car and stole a bunch of his stuff. Shortly after that incident, my parents were having a community event at our home. This person's family attended. The father, a very large and intimidating man, took me aside and confronted me about what I had done. He did that in my parents' house, more or less in front of my family. My dad sensed something was very wrong and questioned me. I knew better than to talk about any of it, so I just slipped away, hoping I had heard the last of it. It was a truly painful and memorable moment for me, one that I still carry with me to this day. The very next person to troll me on Classmates.com was that very person I stole from in high school. 40 years later, he was still thinking about that incident. I now fully understand the magnitudes of my actions then, and wish with all my heart I had somehow understood how the things we say and the things we do are part of us forever. The good and the bad about the internet is that it becomes a solid way to recapture and revisit past life events. This story is mostly about the trail of ashes left behind by the intense flames of my journey. The glass thread that ultimately developed over the years and has been woven into the very fabric of my life from my birth to this very moment. You will find this to be a fascinating and fantastic story about the journey I've been privileged to take. This story is about my journey towards becoming receptive to the messages of the universe and evolving in the process. The important ones usually show up as a faint whisper, just on the edge of the wind, a scirocco that passes very quickly through one's life. One needs to be open and present to catch the message and understand the meaning. If you miss it or don't understand it, the message will likely circle back and smack you repeatedly until you hear it. Once you understand and decide to make some changes, you will have to figure out how to manifest those insights into something usable. Now, I understand fully that everything of any consequence that happens in our lifetime happens in an instant. There is a formula for manifesting the messages into something useful in our journey. Over the years, I've come to understand the formula is simple. Desire plus intention plus action equal outcome. Einstein got it right. Coincidence is God's way of being anonymous. Recently, I was told by Wikipedia that even with 100,000 plus hits on Google, nothing about my life warrants a Wikipedia page. My ego instantly deflated. Thank you, Wiki. So just why would I want to go through all the trouble of writing a book and then creating visual images that will accompany the book? The first reason is that I've had this incredible, mythical, almost unbelievable life's journey from the swamplands of northern New Jersey, around the world, and finally to the shores of California. My journey was filled with joy and heartbreak, happiness and sorrow. I have experienced the ultimate highs and the worst possible lows. I have been very successful and been an abysmal failure. But only in the last few years have I began to understand the important parts of the journey and ultimately been blessed with some real insights. I want to share that journey and these insights learned to make you laugh and make you cry as we walk down the twisted road of some of my life experiences. In the end, assuming you can put up with me to the end, I hope that in some way my experiences will help you on your own journey. Be forewarned, parts of this journey are not pretty. I have lived long enough to examine many parts of my life choices, and there are many that I truly and deeply regret. To those who shared those parts of my journey, to those I have hurt or treated disrespectfully along the way, I deeply apologize from the very bottom of my heart. There is no excuse and no one to blame except me. Thanks for getting this far. I wish you all peace and love on your journey.